Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 468. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will show you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free. We'd like you to send in tithes and offerings because there's so many people that want these. And it's getting, you know, hot and heavy around here to try to get enough money to send all the things that people need in the ministry. But we're still getting along somewhat, but there's so many more that need. And we'd like to give them many more pieces of literature and tracks and CDs and audio tapes and all this. We're not government sponsored at all. As a matter of fact, we're quite contrary to government, the type of government that has just been brought forth in the past 50 years. They call it international government, international law, but it's no longer, they're just coming right out on the news and saying it's international law, which means it's Roman canon law. That's international law. Roman canon law is totally against the Bible. Yeah, they're the ones, that's why they're taking the Bible out of school. They say that in order to have peace and safety, they have to get rid of everything that has to do with God, because they can't have any peace, because they realize that if people are preaching that they're going to go to hell for being a homosexual or an adulterer or a lesbian or a fornicator or a liar or a thief, then there wouldn't be any peace on earth. So what they're actually doing, international law, is causing there to be a lawless society. And a lawless society is condemned by God, and God is the one that waves the big stick. God is the one that we're all going to have to face sooner or later. And if you are not right with the Lord, if you think that international or Roman canon law is better than his law, you're Antichrist and you're going to hell. That's when you like international or Roman canon law better than God's law, you're an Antichrist. You're part of the body of Antichrist. The Antichrist isn't just one person, like you hear all the false prophets and teachers teach. The Antichrist is a corporate body of millions, even billions of people. And very few people are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And there's very few people, you just see them talking so sincerely and with such force that they know what the Bible says. And I listen to them and I can't believe that people are just praising and thanking the Lord, but they're being taught the wrong thing. And they're being sent millions of dollars, which, you know, that's okay, because, like, if God doesn't touch the hearts of you people out there to send in finances here, of course that kind of doctrine will go on. It was the same thing with the Lord. When everybody was opposing him, he didn't go around, you know, panhandling tithes and offerings. He just laid the law down, and the law has never changed. Jesus stated he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it, to show people that they could do it, to make sure that it gets accomplished in the fifth chapter of Matthew. And, of course, because of the fact that he kept all of God's commandments, he was a man, and he was able to raise the dead and heal people, and it didn't make any difference what kind of disease. But people that believe in international or Roman canon law, they have no power of God, because they don't have the double-edged sword, the Word of God, the Spirit, for it cannot be activated. The law of God cannot, the Word of God, the law of God, whatever you call it, God calls it both, it's, or Christ, who is the Word of God. God is the Word. In Christ, the Son of God is God. And so he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And if he said also in the fourth chapter that man does not live by bread alone, he told this to Satan. And that's what I tell everybody too, is that man does not live by bread alone. Everybody's opening up all these cuisine shops, but people live by the Word of God, by every word of God. And the Bible clearly tells us in several places that Jesus is the entire Word of God. So if there's parts of the Word of God that you hate, then if you hate God, well, then he plainly states that he hates you. He said, I'm with you. He said, everyone that's not with me is against me. And if you're against God, you can't win. You're going to go down the drain. You're going down into the bowels of hell, and then later be cast into the lake of fire with Satan, his angels, and all of you, anybody out there that follows the Lord. And I realize a lot of my listeners really love the Lord, and I thank and praise the Lord for every single one of you. But as you well know, if you're in the ministry, that you're being persecuted by a bunch of people that are possessions of Satan. They're Satan-possessed. In other words, you're one of Satan's possessions. He owns you. And so we pray that you enjoy, not only enjoy, but really enjoy this program, because it's teaching you the ways of the Lord. We have music, we've got letters, we've got Bible reading and commentary. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to control this service. We either controlled by the Lord or we're controlled by Satan. And if we're controlled by the Lord, we don't have a worry in the world. Father, control. Let everybody receive your control. We have to want to be controlled by you in order to be controlled by you. If there's no want or desire to be controlled by you, Lord, then we're going to be controlled by the devil. And if we're controlled by the devil, we never can be perfect. Now, Father, these false prophets today and these false teachers, they're saying that no one can be perfect. But it's a commandment in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew that we are perfect. We must be perfect in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a place of perfection. And there's not one thing, not one spot, blemish, or sin, which is symbolic of sin, spot, blemish, that's going to enter heaven. And so we all must resolve in our hearts that we're going to be perfect, but we have to make ourselves want to be perfect. We must want you to control us by the Holy Spirit. Because when you give us the new spirit when we are saved, then our spirit is new and clean. And we become a new creature. And this is when you are able to enter into our new and clean spirit. Because our spirit must be united with your Holy Spirit. And when it is, we're perfect. If we continue on a daily basis, denying ourselves and taking up the cross and following your word, which is Christ, then we're saved. And those that continue on following your word to the end are the ones that are saved. And we thank you, Lord, for showing us these things, giving us this information, because it has to do with our very eternal, immortal, everlasting life. And so, Father, let everything that's done in this program be the very thing that will cause people to want to be perfect. Because we are with you, our spirit united with yours, we are very, very capable, because of you, to be perfect. Lord, that souls are saved and that the church is edified, strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, we have a children's choir. There's 45 voices on them in the, when we all get together, the people in Fort Smith get together with the people in Falk, Arkansas, there's 90 voices. But there's 45 of these young children who are going to sing for you today. This is not an edited copy of their program here. It's called Shout to the Lord. And the people that are singing on this is Alexis Broderick, and their voices sound so clean and innocent. You just tell that these little girls are beautiful, perfect little girls that love the Lord and walk in the Spirit. And Naomi Myers. So Alexis Roderick, she's singing lead. And then later on, Naomi Myers is singing lead with this 45-voice choir of children. If you have children that would like to be in our choir, send them down. We have the greatest arranger, I think, down through the years. He's proven himself to be that good. He is the arranger and producer and conductor for a lot of major stars such as Tony Bennett. And name some of the others.
Celine Dion.
Aretha Franklin.
Mariah Carey.
And the list goes on and on and on. He's even conducted for this artist named Tony Alamo. And we've always done good records together for many, many years now. And so here they are, the Alamo Christian Children's Choir, with the lead singers, Alexis Broderick, Naomi Myers, the 45 voices, two of them being Alexis Broderick and Naomi Myers, singing Shout to the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right, that's really something. You know, like this was, it's not mixed. You know, if we're going to mix it when we start recording these young people, we're going to actually bring the voices up more, of course. But I just thought that, you know, it would be nice for, and then we're going to get the other voices from Fort Smith down here, so there'll be 90 voices instead of just 45. So there's another 45 in Fort Smith. And then H.B. Barnum will be here about the 26th of this month. This is October the 26th, 07. And so those of you might like to come down and visit and listen to and watch him conduct. And okay, here's the adult choir to sing for you. This is conducted by H.B. Barnum, and this is a mixed and mastered copy. So you see how the children will sound once we mix it and master it and press it. This is called, and I'm sure you never heard it this way, it's called Jesus Loves Me. Yes, I know, because the Bible tells me so. Okay?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, my Jesus, he loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who bled and died. Heaven's gates, oh, it's gonna open wide. He'll wash away all of my sins. And he let, this little child come right on in.
Bible, for the Bible tells me so.
Well, now I'm sure you understand why Mariah Carey and Aretha Franklin and Tony Bennett and all those people like to have HB doing their arrangements for them. And you too can be on the air worldwide. Come on down and join our choir and have your kids come too. This was a child's choir along with the adult singers. And if you sing or you play an instrument, come on and join up. We've got our TV facilities here. And also our recording facilities. This was all done in our church right here in Falk, Arkansas. And so y'all come here. All right, now we have some testimonies, some letters. Where's the first one from?
From Veracruz, Mexico.
Okay, we just want to let everybody know that we're friendly. We're your neighbors, and we're supposed to love one another. Amen?
Amen.
And like, if you feel like letting out and singing and having a such a professional director and producer. I've been producing and directing records with HB for, gosh, over 50 years now. HB still says he's 21 years old, but don't believe it. Okay, go ahead.
Brother Tony, God bless you in a great way. I want to inform you that the newsletters are such a blessing wherever they are being distributed, such as here in southeastern Mexico. Many people are being saved through your literature, and many pastors are very interested in them. I want to ask that you send me another donation of literature and your message on CD. We are working for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Brother Tony. Yours in the love of Christ, Reverend Hernandez from Veracruz, Mexico.
And where's the next letter from? That sounds very wonderful. And we've already sent him all this literature, and we want to just keep sending more and more literature to hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. So send in your tithes and offerings. This is something that's very familiar that you hear on most stations, but some of them are preaching, bad things, and you know that we're preaching everything directly from the Bible and giving you nuggets from the Bible that are not available from anyone else that I know of. Okay, go ahead.
From Uganda, Africa. Dear Sir, Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the most holy name of Christ. I am writing to thank you for the 6 Bibles and 3 boxes of literature and world newsletters that you are kind enough to send me. I have much appreciated your sending it, and I do hope that you will forgive me for being late in writing you back. Many churches in Uganda are happy about your ministry for distributing Bibles free of charge, and almost every house has a copy of your newsletters and literature supplied by our church members. Pastor, this free distribution of Bibles has not been done by any other ministry here in Uganda. We Ugandans thank God that the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries has made it easy for needy Christians to own a Bible to read, and thus makes it easy to win many more lost souls in Uganda. Pastor, we are in need of opening a new church in Kampala, and me and our dear brothers in Christ in Kampala request you to stand with us in prayer and materially. We request that you kindly allow us to use your ministry's name and to join your ministry, because we have come to understand that you are really a servant of the Most High God. God has sent you to us to be a blessing to us and to other nations. I have been a friend to you for 11 years, since 1996. I have been faithfully distributing your materials and Bibles here in Western Uganda. Your materials have helped us to win many lost souls to Christ. Many have come to Christ and testified that their lives changed by reading your literature. I would love to come and meet with you personally. Pastor, please pray for us and, if possible, encourage our congregation by giving monthly subscriptions, and we request that you agree to let us join your ministry. We also request 200 Bibles to help those who cannot afford them. Also, send me 200 kilograms of newsletters and literature. We also need 30 books of the Messiah for the pastor's use, and also your messages and a video from your church ministry. May God's blessings be with you and those people who are busy serving in your ministry. Yours in Christ's service, B. Ezekiel from Cassis, Uganda, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Definitely, we want to unite with you. If you're believing the scriptures, well, then you're welcome as the flowers in May. Any all ministries that want to unite with us. So it's natural for people that want to join together that are whose spirits have been purified through death. We must experience death at the cross, so that it may be our spirits may be purified and then united to become one spirit with the Lord in the freshness and purity of resurrection. Once we are resurrected, once we have the new spirit and God is living in our spirit, the fullness of the Godhead, that is, God's spirit is joined with the spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is, to become one spirit, and one outcome will be to serve the Lord in, quote, newness of spirit. That's in Romans 7th chapter, verse 6. To serve the Lord in newness of spirit. It has to be. We can't serve the Lord with our own old spirit. It must be the new spirit of the Lord that he gives us. And he must then, when it's new and it's pure, then he will move into our new pure spirit. Romans 7, 6, read it.
But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead
we're... Okay, that we're delivered from the penalty of the law is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He doesn't say we're delivered from ever having to keep the law. No, we're delivered from the penalty of the law, and then because of the fact that we have this new spirit that the Lord has given us, and he's in, living, abiding in our new spirit, then we're able to keep the commandments so that we don't be condemned by the law again. Now, it's the same thing. You have police departments today. If you commit a law, you break a law, the law then has jurisdiction over you. They can come and pick you up. If you molest a child, if you commit... murder. They don't really give you what the law of God prescribes, but God's going to give it to them anyway. But the law, and then after you serve your time, you're free to go. You're no longer a ward of the courts, the law. But if you go back and murder somebody else, they'll come in and arrest you again, and they'll recall that you murdered somebody else. And so therefore, they're going to give you a double time, or they might today even put you to death, which God's law prescribes. He doesn't say, well, if you were crazy, you don't have to be killed. It says everybody that commits murder, even those of you that murder babies, you abort them, that's first-degree murder, you must be killed. You must be killed. The Bible does not say, the original Bible does not say, thou shalt not kill, because God tells people to kill murderers. Amen?
Amen.
In no uncertain terms. So what it does say is thou shalt do no murder. Amen?
Amen.
Now in the New Testament, we have, in the Old Testament, the King James Version, we had Shakespeare went and changed some of those words around, and there's a lot of difference between killing a person, which keeps the law if they murder, and murder. Murder is you're planning to abort, murder a child. That's murder, first-degree murder. And the requirement of that is death. Well, a woman says, but my body belongs to myself, and that gives me the right to murder. Find that to me in the Word of God. That's international Roman canon law, because there were so many babies born in Catholic churches that they abort them all the time, and that we have pictures in the basement of some of these huge monasteries where shell the skeletons of hundreds of little babies that were aborted and they dug them up in this in many Catholic churches and found them there in that pit. But because the Catholics don't believe in divorce or and remarrying, even though the Bible says if a woman leaves you or a man leaves you and doesn't want to serve the Lord, that you have the right to get married to somebody else, so long as it is a real Christian, not somebody that, like a Catholic, that says they're Christians and they're really not, they're a heathen of the worst caliber. But the Bible does say is that you can do that. Now, they believe in fornication, the Catholics. They believe you can go fornicate. And one Jewish rabbi that was saved in Miami, I went to a meeting, and I met him because I gave my testimony, and he gave his, and he was saying that it's all right. He said he knows better than that now, but he said there was a lot of rabbis there to try to tear him to pieces and telling him they didn't want him to tell the people in that meeting what the Jews think about Gentile women. He said the Jews, some of those rabbis, believe that you can commit adultery with Gentile women because they're dogs anyway. He said, but you can't commit adultery with a Hebrew woman. And so he knew that was very wrong, but these other rabbis were so upset with him for exposing some of the things that they believe in. I don't say that every Jewish rabbi believes that way, but this little clique of rabbis that he knew did, and he was ratting them out. He was like ratting on them. And he came to me and said, they're really angry at me, aren't they? And I said, yeah. I said, maybe... he said, I'd like to go water skiing over at the Sea of Galilee. And I said, I don't know how you could go water skiing on the Sea of Galilee. I have to just look at it, you know, and know that Jesus was on that sea, and I just meditate on that. And he's the one that stilled the water, the waves, that storm, and the wind. And that's what that song was about. He's, what is it, the name of that? He is the master of the wind. There's another song that we're going to be singing here, one of the sisters, Master of the Wind. So that means he's the boss of the wind. Amen?
Amen.
And the waves. All right, so we're going to do that later on. So what is of the natural of self and of animal activities has no more place in the believer's walk and labor. Both the soul and the body may then but exhibit the purpose, work, and life of the Lord. The spirit life leaves its imprint on everything, and everything speaks of the outflow of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, Sharon, I'd like you to read from the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. Okay, and I'd like to do some commenting on that. This is where Jesus is teaching the people what they call the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, go ahead.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Okay, the poor in spirit means that, you know, everybody has their own spirit. You can see people going out to nightclubs and they decide that they want to take pot and pills. This is very strong in spirit. But when a person hears the gospel and they decide to do what the Lord says and get saved, that means they're poor in their own spirit, but they want to live according to God's spirit. Okay? So that's good to be poor in your own spirit, because in your soul you have a will. And your will either choose to become, to humble yourself and live according to God's spirit, or you will either decide to, I'm going to be poor in spirit and live according to God's spirit, because my spirit isn't going to get me anywhere but to hell. I need God's new spirit. I need my old spirit, my dead spirit, replaced with the new spirit that God promised to give everybody. And he promised that in the Old Testament. The Lord said he'd give us a new spirit and dwell within that new spirit in the book of Ezekiel, where because it's clean and pure. He's not going to live in your old spirit while you're doing things that are of everyday life, what people do. They commit adultery and fornication, lesbianism, steal, lie. He's not going to live in there. You may say, well, I'm hiding the things that I did. The heavens, the Lord fills heaven and earth. There's not one vacant spot in heaven or on earth. So he knows everything we're doing and everything that we've done. And if you're not confessing it, you're a liar. If you say, well, I'm clean. And you're not, and you don't have a clean spirit. And that's why most people, that's why every person that is holding back their lying, they don't feel the Spirit of the Lord. They may feel the Spirit of the Lord like the King Saul did when the psalmist David was playing the harp. The Spirit would come down and he'd feel it, but it had departed from him. The Holy Spirit had departed from him. He felt the Spirit. He knew what the Spirit was when there's the spiritual person there, but he is no longer spiritual. He was cursed. So it's blessed as the person that is poor in their own spirit. They don't want to do the things that the Lord commands for us not to do. We can't be watching all kinds of things of this world or be concerned about it when the Lord says we must love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. There's no room for anything else. All right, so go ahead, continue on.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Right, if you want to go to the kingdom of heaven, then you're not going to be spirited. Like you see race horses, you know, they just want to get out of the stall. One of my sons is a top, not disc jockey, actual jockey that rides the thoroughbreds. And he's won over 2,200 or something like that races. And we were over there where he races in Florida. And we saw some of those thoroughbreds, and they're just really raring to go. And they're mean, and they'll throw. He's broken about every bone in his body because of the legs of each of those horses get tangled up, and they fall off the horse. And a big thing going on about benefits for people like that. He's doing all right because he's a trainer, a manager of different jockeys now, and he also is involved with the racetrack, where he trots the horses and races them in the morning and keeps them in shape. But at any rate, they are spirited, and they have to be harnessed. They have to, and we have to be harnessed as well. We have to be poor in spirit and let the Lord just take over. He's the potter, we're clay. Amen?
Amen.
Then go ahead.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Right. There's so many people, they just make a joke out of people that die. It's a mournful thing if you really love the Lord. Even Jesus cried when his friend had been dead for 4 days. He wept. And it's better to be in the house of mourning. It's better to be like in a funeral parlor than it is to be in the house of mirth. Amen?
Amen.
Because when you're in there, you realize that you're going to come to an end as well. So blessed are those that mourn because what?
For they shall be comforted.
Yes, you'll be comforted when you die the Lord will just pick you up in the chariot of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and take you right into the kingdom of heaven. And he'll comfort you here as well. Then what?
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Now, meek means meek before the Lord. That doesn't mean to go around and act, like you're eating humble pie before people, because the Lord wants you to be bold before people. And in order for you to be bold before people, you have to be meek before the Lord. Because many times the Lord has told me to say things to people, and I say, oh, Lord, you know, they're not going to believe me. They're going to be angry at me, and they might even, you know, kill me, stone me to death or something. But he said, if you're meek, you're going to do what I say. Okay, so I would say it. I started out in the ministry that way. I was in the attorney's office, and there were six police officers that were driving motorcade for me, and a chauffeur that was driving a limousine that I was riding in with this singer, Bobby Jameson, and 17 other people. And the Lord told me to stand up on my feet and tell the people in the room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or I would surely die. And Greg Szymanski, I've said this, my testimony on his program, and the Vatican has given him a hard time because they're putting me on, and he's also talking about the evils of the Vatican, the Antichrist cult, its world government, international government, and the international media at large. And so he says it's just getting so, it seems like you're out in the ocean, and you just want to go to shore. You want to get up. Have you got that message from him? Read it. Now, I've been a guest on his program many times. Greg Szymanski asked me to host his radio program 2 days, and I did.
This is from Greg Szymanski, and he's asking Tony to be on his show. To Pastor Alamo, would you like to be a guest next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific time? I urge you to come on, as it may be one of my last shows. There is no fighting the Vatican, as they marginalize you in every way.
Okay, well, they marginalize us, but there is fighting, Greg. I mean, because the Bible says we must put on the full armor of God and we can't quit. So don't say there's no fighting the Vatican. The Vatican is the devil, and the Lord says to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. So don't let the devil see you crying, and don't let him hear you saying these words, because it's like you're not believing what the Lord says. Get into that Bible and read what it says. The Bible says those that continue to the end shall be saved, so you have to continue fighting them, okay, because they're the Antichrist, and we can't go along with them. Or say there's no fighting them when the Lord tells you to fight them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It is like sailing alone on the Pacific. After a while, you want to touch land.
We want to touch land, yes. We want to lay our burdens down, but the Bible says, glory, glory, hallelujah. When I lay my burdens down, that happens when we go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
There's no laying down burdens on this side of eternity. We have to keep fighting the good fight of faith. We have to finish the course. You know, Paul said, I've fought a good fight, and I've finished the course, because the Lord's going to take me up now. And therefore, I know there's a crown in heaven laid away for me. Amen?
Amen.
I've done what the Lord says, and I've finished the course. I never quit in the middle of the bridge or in the middle of the walk in Christ. I've finished the course. Then what?
Please let me know if you can appear, Greg.
Oh, Greg, I will be definitely on your show. That's the next Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay, and this is October what?
20th.
20th?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to have my teeth cleaned on Wednesday also, so at 4 o'clock I should be free. Okay, I will be. I'll tell the dentist, hurry up. Okay, and then what else? Let's get back to Chapter 5 of Matthew.
Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness,
Oh, how I love the Bible. I mean, I keep that talking Bible going day and night. I just, I can't get enough of the Bible. I love the Lord. If you love the Word of God, then you love the Lord. If you don't love the Word of God, if you don't love to pray, you don't love the Lord. And if you don't love Him, you're not going to keep His commandments. He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. A person that says that they love Me and keeps not My commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in her or him. Okay? So don't say you love the Lord. I know so many people around me that don't love the Lord. And it vexes my soul so much, it's just very hard to take it. But still, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to quit like Susie did. And hundreds, thousands of other people that I've seen throw in the towel since I've been saved. There's a big-name basketball player. I don't want to mention his name. He came up to me and says, well, Tony, now that I'm saved, can I still play basketball? And I told him, no. Oh, God, he went away so sad because he can't bounce a ball and shoot it in the basket. You know, he'd rather do that than go to heaven. Isn't that the epitome of stupidity? Okay, what else? And then these people that say, I just thank Jesus for letting me beat this guy's brains out in the ring. I thank Jesus that he gave me this fight. And they're just out of their minds. They're punchy because they've had their heads bashed in so much. And they're thanking Jesus. Jesus never in the Bible condones people bashing people's heads in and knocking them cold. Does he?
No.
I mean, come on. Or he doesn't commend people for playing basketball, football, baseball, ping pong, all these other sports. The Lord isn't into sports. He didn't ever ice skate or ski or anything like that. That's people that are idle. They don't have their eyes focused on the Lord. All they're doing is just their own thing. They're really heavy in their own spirit, and they're not spiritual at all. They're not poor in spirit. They're rico in spirit, rich in their own spirit. That won't get you to heaven, folks. Better hang it up and get into the gospel. It's all right to exercise a little bit. It profiteth little. I exercise and lift a little bit of weight, so that nothing much. I used to lift them 8 hours a day, but now I don't do that anymore. I ride the stationary bike, and I go ahead and lift a few weights at the gym. And I have we have the church gym over here, and I suggest everyone to do that. And they do a few minutes every day, some of them. Okay, so, but that's not what the Lord wants. Is to just make your career out of that. Then what else?
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Yeah, I hunger and thirst to know what's right. And I know that if I know what's right, then I'm going to heaven. And I just love to listen to the Bible all the time. Okay? Mm-hmm. Once in a while, I turn on the news to see what's all the negative things that's happening in the world. Then I look at the positive things in the Bible that shows that the Lord is going to deliver me from all evil. Amen. So long as I keep His commandments. Okay, then what?
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Right, when you see people that merciful means that you're going to get preach the gospel to them so that they can be saved. And if they're hungry and they're naked, you give them clothes and food. And these are just easy things to do. Even Catholics do that for their own people. But they really don't do it for anybody else. But we do it for Catholics or Jews or anybody. Anybody that needs anything, we give it to them. Amen?
Amen.
And I see my time is up, but let's continue with the Beatitudes tomorrow, okay? Chapter 5 of Matthew, because I like to break these things down. So, now, if you want to be poor in spirit, in other words, to give up the things of this world, because the Bible says that there isn't any time left anymore, and what you're going to learn for the Lord even appeared to me one time to rebuke me. A lot of people say, well, the Lord came to him and talked to him and commended them and said, they're like another David. I don't want to be like David. I want to be like the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, and so the Lord told me, you're not reading enough. You're not reading, because I thought my job was to just build homes and everything for people and to just give away stuff. And so he says, read. You're going to have to do that, because he was letting me know that maybe Sue won't be there all the time and I'm going to have to take over. And so I realize more than ever now that I have to just listen to the Word of God all the time. And so you start out by being saved, and you become saved if you will say this prayer or a similar prayer to the Lord like this. Say this to the Lord right now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart. I open the door of my heart. I open the door of my heart. I just no anxieties. I just let you flow into me. I ask you to come into me, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away. And you will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you don't turn anyone away. Therefore, I know you've heard me and answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. I just praise and thank the Lord. And here's Sharon to tell you how to receive a copy of this program, number 468.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
This is World Pastor Tony Long. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message and explanation of the Word of God. It's very simple. Even 5-year-old children can understand it. Right now, this is Miranda Eddy. She's a relative of Nelson Eddy, the great opera singer. He's the one that's famous for singing Willie the Whale. That Figaro song, da 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 da. That's that. So she's a very good singer herself, and she has a sister that's a very good singer as well. Singing Master of the Wind. This is with our children's choir.